And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buehr.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to this preview edition as we are going to get into the Sun Belt school named Georgia Southern, the Eagles of Georgia Southern University down there, or the University of Southern Georgia. But before we start to get into that and kind of getting into the feedback we got from our breakdown episode, Luke, why don't you give the folks a word from our sponsor.
Again, our sponsor is the Goal Line Club. The Goal Line Club will sponsor the podcast for the entire 2019 season. If you are interested in supporting Gopher football, there is no better way to sponsor Gopher football in any monetary way than being a member of the Goal Line Club. You can join them online at their website, goalineclub.org. Also, if you are interested in not being a member but still participating in their events, they have a tailgate coming up on September the 14th. By the time you're listening to this, the tailgate might be closed, but if not, there is a code that you can use. It is CHILLIN and the number 5, CHILLIN and the number 5. So CHILLIN and the number 5. All right, Ryan. So per usual,
the breakdown,
when we get to the breakdown, I think reception was, we liked it, but we really like what you usually do.
I think it was a good change of pace. Don't switch to it every week, but I thought it was funny that some of the people were like, well, yeah, it sounded great because it was, you know, a highly contested game. So do it for one of those really heart-stopping games. Well, if you could point out on the remaining 10 games which ones are going to be heart-stopping and which aren't going to be, I can get some Xanax ready to get some anxiety medication going during those games. So, but I think overall folks liked it.
Yep.
I didn't really see any negative comments, whether it was on the Twitter machine or whether it was on GopherIllustrated.com. I just think it was more of cool change of pace, but we really like when you go position by position as well. So maybe we'll mix it in another one or two times here this year. We'll see how it kind of flows, especially once Derek Burns gets back into the mix here starting in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. But we do appreciate all the feedback that we got, because ultimately this podcast isn't for Luke and myself to – hear ourselves talk. It's for you. You guys are the consumers. You guys are the big Gopher football fans that want to try to glean a little bit more about this football team. And I think overall, Luke, people liked it pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing that we should note, and I think most people can figure this out, we'll only do it for away games because you're kind of busy during home games.
I can't really be sitting in the press box complaining with Sid Hartman.
Yeah,
Chip Scrock is right next to me and among whoever else.
Right.
I'm sure AZJ would want to interject some things, but yeah, it'd be for away games only. So, man, I mean, you'd be only looking at the Purdue's. Maybe it's a Rutgers thing that we do. I'm not entirely sure how we'll end up doing it, but
yeah,
we do appreciate the feedback.
All right, so let's get into this game against Georgia Southern. The Gophers are going to be hosting this game. It'll be a 2:30 start. I think the game is available on BTN, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't
actually
look
that
up.
Correct. It's going to be a BTN one, so you're not going to have to.
Yeah, you're not going to have
figure out what channel, what CBS Sports Network is on. Do you get it? If you don't, are you going to sign up for YouTube TV or whatever? Free 7-day free trial. And if this is your reminder, because you did a 7-day free trial last week to watch the Gophers in Fresno State, go cancel that. So whatever internet provider that you decide to do the free trial with, I'm trying to save you $40. So go cancel that free trial, will you?
All right. So let's get into this one. I guess I don't know of any injuries. It looked like Kokeef was maybe banged up a little bit in that last game. I'm not entirely sure what that was all about. If that was a leg injury or what, I didn't really notice. I just noticed he was not out there, but
I remember going back through the game and watching it for the GIF rewinds that, or the Upon film review pieces on Gopher Illustrated. And once again, here's my plug of the day is for you non-Gopher Illustrated members out there. You've been listening to the podcast for years. Luke, what am I going to tell the folks?
It's literally and figuratively only a dollar
to get in the door. There's a 7-day free trial, and then it's $1 for the first month. No idea what you can get for a dollar in today's day and age, but especially once this football season continues to get going. I mean, I've even alerted our Gopher Illustrated members to a couple of 4-stars that are going to be on campus this weekend. And I don't tweet that stuff out. I don't want to do that for the clicks. I mean, it's not a huge deal to me. I want to make sure my Gopher Illustrated members are taken care of first and foremost, especially with the bye week coming up here. The Gophers are going to have a couple of coaches on the road this Friday to go watch some kids here in the state of Minnesota. And then they'll be on the road Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week to go get to go watch some other recruits. So if you want to know who those recruits are, I don't put that out into the public. I don't really put it on this podcast. So that's where you can go check it out at gopherillustrated.com. But when I was doing my GIF rewinds, I noticed that in the fourth quarter, standing behind the bench was Coe Keefe with no pads on. And word is from some sources that Coe Keefe is in the concussion protocol. Minnesota's starting tight end, the road grinding tight end, Minnesota's best run blocking tight end. And that's where you saw a lot more Jake Paulson in that second half. You saw Bryce Witham mix in more. Maybe this means Brevin Spanford can get a snap. Still one of the biggest mind bogglers of the spring or of this fall, excuse me, is that Brevin Spanford can't get a sniff on this offense. Now, maybe it's because Minnesota is so dead set on getting this inside zone running scheme going, and maybe Brevin's not the best fit for that when Minnesota doesn't really want to use him that way just yet. But Coe Keefe is the biggest one to watch there. I know that some people were talking about Tanner Morgan gimping around. I saw Tanner today walking around. He didn't look like anything was going on there. And maybe the biggest news of this game isn't for the Gophers, but it's for the Georgia Southern team. And that's where their quarterback – I really hope I'm enunciating this correctly. Shai Wirtz, it's either Shai or Shai Wirtz, is their quarterback who led them to a 10-win season last year. You remember we talked about him on this podcast with the infamous bird poop / cocaine scandal that was he was wrongly accused of. Well, he's been out here. He missed last week's game with a shoulder strain. And I saw some quotes from the Georgia Southern head coach earlier this week. It doesn't sound like they are Wirtz is going to play. The head coach said they're going to go forward with their other quarterback, Justin Tomlin. Now, Tomlin is a pretty good athlete in his own right, but he's no Shai Wirtz. So that is maybe the biggest thing, because this is an option offense that, if you know anything about option football, the quarterback is going to be the one that dictates everything. And he has to be a good athlete. I mean, this is a Georgia Southern team that you may remember one of their best players to come out in the last 10 years, former Minnesota Viking Jerick McKinnon. So the quarterback doesn't necessarily have to be able to throw the ball. I mean, I'm not expecting Georgia Southern to throw the ball more than 6, 8, 10 times on Saturday afternoon. But in a downgrade at the athleticism position, especially at the quarterback position, when you go from Shai Wirtz to Justin Tomlin.
All right. So I guess otherwise we could talk about the depth chart. It's exactly the same, I think, as last week again.
Third straight week.
Which
we can put a lot of stock into it, right?
Historically, we can't put a lot of stock into it. But in the same respect, like, it also means that there haven't been any massive injuries, right? Nobody really lost for the season outside of Anixted, which was before the season started. But here in season, you know, knock on wood.
I will do that right now. Yeah. I don't know if folks can hear it, but...
Yeah. So, I mean, that is one of the positive things. But, you know, as we've said, we can't really take much stock in changes in the depth chart. So it's not really worth talking about. So we'll probably just skip that in general.
Well, I think if you want to talk a little bit of depth chart, you mentioned Minnesota, as I knocked on wood there, so I can go ahead and say it has been pretty healthy here so far through the non-conference. We've seen some other teams, like Minnesota's next team after Georgia Southern, Purdue, hasn't been quite as lucky.
Right.
Purdue's starting quarterback for this week as they take on TCU is in the concussion protocol. Plus, they just lost their best linebacker, a guy by the name of Marcus Bailey, to a season-ending knee injury. So this might be a much different team that beat Vanderbilt last week. Now they got to play TCU at home. I mean, when you look at going forward here, this Purdue defense was already struggling to start the season. Now they just lost arguably their best player. So it looks like Purdue in every single game they're going to play in this year is going to have to win 35-31, 35, you know, 34, something like that. But this is a very prolific Purdue team. So when you look at the depth chart, though, I think maybe the interesting point that I'm going to be looking for in this game is on paper, Luke, I think this is the last time that you'll plausibly have a chance to see in a positive way from Minnesota who the QB2 actually is. Because on paper, maybe Minnesota blows out Illinois. Maybe Minnesota blows out Rutgers. Maybe there's another blowout we don't know about. But this is the last opportunity to potentially get up 2-3 scores in the fourth quarter. And then if there's 6 minutes left and you're getting the ball back and you're up 17, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially with a triple option team who's not exactly going to score in 1 minute.
Right.
To put Tanner Morgan back out there. So this is going to be our last chance to potentially see, is it Cole Kramer or is it Jacob Clark? because they're listed as and or on the depth chart. I don't know what Minnesota will do there. They've kept that pretty tight under wraps. So I think that's maybe if you're going to be positive about this game and think that Minnesota, as the current Vegas odds are 15.5-point favorites as we record this on Wednesday night, who is the QB2? Mm-hmm. And this is going to be essentially your last chance to get to see that before, unfortunately, Tanner Morgan would have to miss some time for that. So depth chart remains the same. I expect everybody else to be out there, and we'll have to see how this Georgia Southern team decides to come in here to TCF Bank Stadium.
All right, so when we look at this Georgia Southern team, on the year, they're 1-1. Their lone loss is against LSU, who at the time was ranked number 6. They lost 55-3. They did have a win against it's Harris Simiak, I think, is the coach, right?
Yeah,
it was his former team.
Correct. And I think that's a storyline. Yeah, that's a storyline in itself, because you mentioned Maine's former head coach from last year guiding them to an FCS semifinal is Joe Harris Simiak, who is now Minnesota's safeties coach. And so you wonder, how much has Maine helped out Minnesota?
Oh, interesting point.
Because, I mean, what does Maine have to lose in giving Harris Simiak what they did and everything they saw and what they had for different kind of looks in terms of schemes? And so I think that's an underplayed part, is how much is Maine – I mean, that's where I would just imagine. I mean, Luke, put yourself in Maine's shoes here. What do you have to lose – in terms of helping Minnesota beat Georgia Southern? Now, again, Minnesota, quote unquote, shouldn't need help beating Georgia Southern, but this is such a different kind of style of offense that you only see once every few years, especially as a Big Ten team. And so do you think, I would think that Maine's helping out Harris Simiak in this Gopher defense scheme against this Georgia Southern offense, but what do you think?
I mean, put it this way, if this staff is, hesitant to change a depth chart for a competitive advantage, I don't think it's beyond them to call it a team and get as much information as possible. So I think it's very plausible. And I should note that Georgia Southern won that game 26-18 against Maine last week. So when we look at, statistically speaking, I think the stats are a little bit skewed because you have a blowout loss for Georgia Southern and a pretty tightly contested game for a win against Maine. But Ryan, I want to get to when the Gophers are on defense. But Georgia Southern on the year is only averaging 14.4 points. Again, pretty skewed. But in terms of yard distribution, they're very, very skewed towards rushing. They're averaging 234.5 yards on the ground, only 43.5 yards through the air. And I should note that their leading receiver, I think last name is Anderson, has one reception for 45 yards. I mean, compare that with Bateman, who has 12 receptions for 237 yards and two touchdowns. This is a very one-dimensional offense, which is no surprise.
This is going to be a much different pace than South Dakota State, than Fresno State. Now you're going to be going against an option team. And an option team, as I mentioned it early, you're only going to see them throw the ball 6, 8, 10 times a game. And so you're going to be seeing Justin Tomlin, who is their quote-unquote quarterback, a.k.a. their best athlete out there. And it's not going to be more times than not under center. It's going to be out of shotgun. And so you're going to see, you'll have a guy right next to him in terms of there's three different things that Minnesota is going to have to try to defend defensively. One is going to be the dive. And so you're going to have the quarterback take the snap, whether it's out of shotgun or under center. You're going to see him look right at the – going to take it, or is he going to give it? Well, if he gives, it's the dive. If he takes it, well, he's got a guy behind him being the pitch man. So they'll roll out to that side. Then you're going to have him read another guy. And if that guy decides that he's going to take the pitch back, he's going to cut it inside and go from there. And so that's where Minnesota's got to be tremendously disciplined. And that's something that they were able to do three games ago against Georgia Tech. Now, that bowl game against Georgia Tech, these are two totally, I shouldn't say totally different, but there's a lot of different things. They are both option offenses, but they have a lot of the same principles. So it's like I said, Georgia Tech is going to be more under center. Georgia Southern on Saturday, I think you're more going to see out of shotgun. So it's just those little differences. And we asked Joe Rossi about that, Minnesota's defensive coordinator today. What are the differences? And I thought the way he kind of explained it was interesting. He kind of related it to cooking, to where you're going to be making a meal in terms of, in this instance, this meal would be a defensive game plan. And while the results are likely going to be looking the same in terms of how Minnesota defends it, there's a lot of different ingredients in that. There's different looks that Georgia Southern has compared to Georgia Tech, just different ways that they use it in terms of their blocking scheme up front, whereas this should be something that many of you are very keen about watching. Georgia Southern's run blocking scheme is inside zone. Luke, do you know what other team has a primary run offense of inside zone?
It might be the Gophers.
It would be the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So your hope is that Georgia Southern's run blocking scheme looks a lot like the way Minnesota's did against South Dakota State, where they weren't getting a lot of push. And that's going to be the big thing for Joe Rossi, is to get these linebackers, and specifically if Minnesota has to play the Braylon Olivers and the Mariano Sorimera, the Thomas Rushes of the world out there. You have to be disciplined. You have to trust your keys that Joe Rossi has been preaching to you all week, and not try to do too much, because that's where an option team can beat you. Whereas if you try to do too much, or you try to do somebody else's job, and you don't read the man and be in the spot that you're supposed to be, that's how it goes from a 2-yard gain, a 3-yard gain, to a 32-yard gain. And that's just why you have to say so gap discipline, so just disciplined overall into being where you're supposed to be against an option team that, you know, Minnesota's corners are going to have to come up and play really well in run support, of which we've seen Keandre and Coney do, even Chris Williamson. And Jordan Howden has been improved in terms of his open field tackling, and then you also have Antoine Winfield. So that's where you have to make Georgia Southern go to their 10, 12, 14 play drives down the field to get points, because you don't want to have them. I mean, what Georgia Southern wants to do on offense is they want to dominate time of possession. And that's where, on the flip side of things, what does Minnesota want to do on offense? They want to dominate time of possession. And that's where I think this is going to be maybe a more lower scoring game than what Vegas thinks, is because both teams don't play at very fast paces. Both teams want to just dominate the ball, and they really aren't in any hurry to really snap the ball more times than not, compared to, you know, say a more up-tempo team like a Texas Tech of sorts. And so that's where Minnesota's just got to make sure that they grind these drives to really make Georgia Southern earn it on Saturday.
All right, so let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. Georgia Southern, is giving up 36.5 points per game. They're giving up quite a few yards on passing, 328.5. But rushing, they're only giving up 87 yards a game. And, you know, conversely, the Gophers are averaging about 205 yards passing, 139 yards on the ground. But we know, because we've watched the games, they're very committed to trying to get their running attack going. So what do you expect out of the Gophers this week?
Well, that's a great question, because you mentioned how I think the stats don't tell the whole story there. 87 yards a game against this Georgia Southern run defense. You're thinking to yourselves, wow, they only held LSU to, what, like 100 yards on the ground?
Yeah.
No, LSU just eviscerated them through the air.
Right.
Joe Burrow just decided he's going to torch them. And that's where Georgia Southern's replacing both of their safeties. Their corners are pretty good. They have one corner in particular. I believe his name is, it's either Kindle Victor or Victor Kindle. He is someone that I think is going to be an interesting matchup for Tyler Johnson or Rashad Bateman. That's where LSU was just got him out of the building through the air. Now, I think we've all seen that Minnesota and Kirk Schrock are very dedicated to their inside zone running game, much to the chagrin of many of you, much to the chagrin of both Luke and I at times. But it's clear that that's the way Minnesota wants to set up their offense, is they're going to run the ball to pass it. They're not going to pass it to run it. And that's where Minnesota is going to have their offensive line get better from week two to week three. Now, we saw them get better from week one to week two. I even asked offensive coordinator Kirk Shiraka about that today, about what he thought about the offensive line's progression. Of course, he's a college coach. He thinks that they're getting better. But what he did was he singled out Daniel Fa'alele specifically. And he thought that he played with much more aggression. And he even thought that that Daniel was, I think the word he used was, dominating at times. And that's what you want to see from a 6'9", 370-pound guy. And I think the more interesting point as we get into this further with this deep dive is Georgia Southern's defense is a 3-4 defense. This is a 3-4 defense of which Minnesota has not faced this year. The last time they faced a 3-4 defense was, well, against Wisconsin. They had a lot of success against that. But I would imagine Georgia Southern's front seven isn't nearly what Fresno State's was. And that isn't nearly going to be what South Dakota State's was. I think Fresno State's front seven was better than South Dakota State's. And I don't think that Georgia Southern's kids are going to be nearly what South Dakota State's was. And so you're hoping is Minnesota is able to figure out what they need to do with a different look for their young offensive linemen, because between Curtis Dunlap and Daniel Falele, I believe they're at maybe 8, 9, 10 career starts combined. You also only have Blaze Andrews as a these guys are also working how to gel together. Now, what you hope is that if Georgia Southern does what Fresno State did in terms of doubling or in different instances, bracketing both Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson, well, you're hoping that Chris Bell can step up. Maybe Brevin Spanford gets in there. I guess I should probably stop mentioning his name until we see him get an offensive snap. But Demetrius Douglas and Chris Ottman Bell are two guys that are going to have to perform much better. And then, Luke, I guess my question for you is one of the things that we've been talking about on Gopher Illustrated is Rodney Smith. Mm-hmm. Now, some folks are concerned that Rodney Smith hasn't looked like the guy of old. I think my thought process here is when Rodney's been in compared to Mo, it has looked like Rodney hasn't had as much space as what maybe Mo has had. Now, maybe that's because Mo's running style is more conducive to what this offense is right now, and that's not pretty at times. And it's kind of just a 1 foot north-south, grind it forward for 4 or 5 yards, where maybe Rodney can dance around more and do a little bit better in space. But do you think that this is the game that we start to see that Rodney Smith of old emerge with a couple of long runs?
You know, very possibly. I'd also like to see them use Rodney Smith in a multitude of ways rather than, you know, just inside zone. I know that they did get him a sweep last week, but, you know, even getting him more involved in the passing game, he had a phenomenal catch against Fresno State. I think there are many more ways they can involve him, and he will look more like the Rodney Smith of old rather than just this inside zone. You know, I don't necessarily I don't understand why Mo has two targets on the year where Rodney Smith has one, right? I just don't think that that's Mo's strength. Mo's strength is very much inside zone, but if he's going to get on track, yeah, it could be this game, but more than likely it'll be when they try and use Rodney in a multitude of ways, probably in Big Ten season, they open up the playbook a little bit more.
Well, maybe, and maybe Shiraka feels that way. And, you know, Shiraka talked today about his offense and how maybe some people had higher expectations for it, but need to realize that this is a completely different offense than, and by completely just some different things up front that I think are have them playing a little bit differently than what you saw to end the year. Now, to go see his full quotes, I made it free on GopherIllustrated.com. It'll just be on the front page, but he's talked about how he was so excited about the growth potential of this offense and how last week, and everyone watched that game, is probably listening to this right now, and the offense didn't panic, where many situations there, they may have would have last year with how young they were, and there's still very some different positions along this entire offense. Never panics. I mean, you fumbled twice within the 40. Okay. Well, Morgan still came out and led that final drive. But obviously the great throw to Rashad Bateman. And Luke, I don't know if you read Kirk Shiraka's piece today, but he talked about how he, PJ Fleck, and the offensive staff on that final play where they threw it to Ottman Bell on the outside, essentially, quote unquote, drew it in the dirt in terms of it was like a backyard style play. This yeah. isn't some kind of play they had in the playbook. They knew that Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson were going to get doubled. And that was going to allow them to have one-on-one coverage on the outside with Ottman Bell. So they kind of had to figure out what they wanted to do to get him that one-on-one coverage to make sure there was no safety in the picture. And then they were able to convert that. And so that's where the hope is for this game. It's both teams are going to try to slug it out on the ground. Yep. But you're hoping that Minnesota's offensive line and tight ends are able to be as physical as they've been all season against what I think is their worst front seven they've seen to date. And that's where Rodney Smith and maybe Mo Ibrahim can hit some explosive plays, because with the amount of volume that the run game has, they don't really have any explosive runs on the running game is about 15 yards this year, and you've run it over 60 times. So maybe it's the law of averages and they're due to break one, but I'm really hoping this is the game where Mo and or Rodney can both break one and maybe give Minnesota a comfortable lead, a 13-14 point lead going into the early second quarter, because we talked about on the offensive side of the ball for Georgia Southern, an option team is not built to come from behind.
Right.
If they have a 12-play, 10-minute drive and they only get 3 points, okay, well, then there's 2 minutes left in the first half and Minnesota's still up 11 or they're still up 10, whatever it may be. And that's where Minnesota's offense has to be efficient with the possessions that they do have, because both teams are going to want to ball dominate this.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point, or I should say, you bring up a good point that Shiraka makes from last week that the offense didn't panic. And one of the things, I think I was trying to look at some stats and I saw this discussed on the Twitter sphere. I should give a shout out to your partner. I'm totally blanking on his name right now.
Kyle Goblish.
Goblish. He had a couple tweets about how Tanner Morgan has been ridiculously effective on third downs, even in long yardage situations. I think he gave a hat tip to Matt Humbert, MV of DT as well. And that is an interesting point. You know, they haven't panicked and they've gotten themselves in some sticky situations, but Morgan's been able to find a way to get out of it. It isn't always pretty, right? Like on first and second down, but they have found a way to be pretty successful on third down.
And you mentioned those stats specifically. I pulled them up here. How Kirk said today that Tanner did a lot of things, especially on third down, that he was really good at for the second week in a row. And so he's completing 80% of his passes on third down. He's got 2 touchdowns. If you're a believer in ESPN, he's got an absurd 254 quarterback rating on third down. And then if you also look at it, 50% of those completions are of 15-plus yards, and 10 of those completions 10% of those completions are 25-plus yards. Plus, he's 100% in fourth-down passes. Now, the sample size is albeit incredibly small. We're talking about a sample size of something along the lines of 120 snaps and 2 games. Okay, but maybe the biggest thing that Kyle shared was that for all quarterbacks at the University of Minnesota with more than 10 pass attempts back to 1956, Tanner has the best completion percentage, yards per attempt, and adjusted yards per attempt of any Gopher quarterback so far. And then, I mean, we're spanning back 60 years.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So Tanner's been pretty calm, cool, and collected in those big pressure situations on third and fourth down, and that's going to have to continue into these hopefully third and manageables on Saturday.
Absolutely. All right, so we should give another shout out to our sponsor, the Goal Line Club. Again, if you are listening to this and they haven't closed the tailgate for the Georgia Southern game, again, the code is chillin 5. I don't know why I kept wanting to say 7, but it's,
I don't know,
5.
What's up with you in the number 7. Are you a gambling man or something?
I don't know.
It's a lucky number.
Yeah, it's not really, but chillin 5, CHILLIN, and the number 5. Now, if you'd prefer to participate in the tailgate for the Illinois game, the first Big Ten home game, this is a great, I think this is a very great promo code. The promo code, again, to save $5 if you're not a member of the Goal Line Club, is LOVIE5, LOVIE5. Again, LOVIE5. Additionally, there are many things and many ways that you can support Gopher football through the Goal Line Club. They do an auction during the year at some point. Additionally, there's the Tunnel Team. There are many ways you can support, so definitely check out their website, goallineclub.org, and find a way to support Gopher football. Because if you haven't noticed, there's a bit of an arms race in college athletics, and any amount helps.
It certainly does. And for those of you who have already signed up for the Georgia Southern tailgate on Saturday, I think Luke and I will be there. What's it, 2:30 kick? Luke, what are you thinking, 12:30, 12:45?
Yeah, something like that. You know what? My sister's actually flying in from Seattle, so I might even try to get her over there to participate. So absolutely, it should be fun.
Yeah, so for those of you who want to come talk to us, if you're there and you know want to talk some Gopher football, we'll be there around then. Luke, you're about 6'2", red hair. I'm 6'4". Looks like I got a face for radio.
I don't know why you keep shorting me. I am 6'3". Come on, man.
Yeah, whatever you want to tell yourself that makes you sleep at night. we like to be outside. It's supposed to be a beautiful day on Saturday. I think it's supposed to be, what'd you tell me, 76 degrees or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we should actually get...
And I think everybody here listening knows 76-degree sunny game in September. It could be very short-lived in terms of what the weather might do in October. So you know, it should be a good time out there if you want some strong adult beverages, or you just want to have some Tony's Diner to fill your belly here before the game.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so if we look at this specific game, we can look at the betting line, the weather, you know, everything to get you ready. Again, BTN, a 2:30 kick at TCF Bank Stadium. The Gophers right now are a 15.5 point favorite in a point spread with an over-under of 47. So that isn't a terribly high-scoring game, Ryan. Probably not a huge surprise. When we take a look at the weather, like you said, it is going to, at kickoff, they're predicting a 76 degrees, and it's going to be a pretty nice dew point, only in the low or in the high 50s, so that should be a pretty comfortable 76 degrees. I imagine if you are on, what is that? That'll be the north side of the stadium. You're going to be feeling the sun a little bit. And additionally, the other thing to note is the wind will be around 10 miles an hour. So it shouldn't be a huge factor at this point, but it is something to bear in mind going into this specific ball game.
Certainly. I mean, it should be a beautiful day. Vegas thinks this should be a double digit. And I start chuckling because they also thought that about South Dakota State. I also thought that about South Dakota State, but you're banking on, and we'll get into it here in a second, that Minnesota's not going to play in their 20th or 30th percentile for the third straight week. At times, in terms of the inconsistency, you can't go from playing in the 80th, 85th percentile first and second down to having a bottom 20% play, and that screws everything up. So Vegas thinks this should be a comfortable Minnesota victory. Should be a gorgeous day. And I believe tickets are just $20 at Gopher Sports, or if you want to do the Gopher Pass, whatever it may be. If you have a significant other or a group of friends that have wanted to go to a game and they were kind of skeptical about the weather because they don't want to go to it when it's cold, you're not going to find a better game for Minnesota to number one win and for it to be in the mid-70s for a beautiful September day.
We should also note that ESPN's Power Football Index has the Gophers as a 90% winner in this game. That's really pretty high for their predictions, so it seems likely the Gophers will win. So if you do want to enjoy a win, I guess this would be the one. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
It's college football.
Anything can happen.
As you've seen with this Gopher football season so far, it's been very up and down at times. So hopefully we can get a consistent effort on Saturday.
All right, Ryan, let's get to your keys to the game. And actually, going forward, your keys to the game have a sponsor. Would you like to give a word from that sponsor?
Yeah, so we do have a new sponsor here for the rest of the football season, someone that our newest advertiser is my longest known and favorite insurance agency of what he likes to believe Gopher Nation. This is the Burns Insurance Agency in Oakdale, Minnesota. So he insures homes, boats, businesses of all sizes. So if you're looking for another option with regards to your insurance, and like I said, whether it's with your boat, whether it's with your business, your home, your auto, give my dad, a.k.a. I mean the Bill Burns Insurance Agency in downtown Oakdale, Minnesota, an email or a call, and you can check them out at insurancebyburns.com. And I will say that there is nothing that my dad fights for harder, maybe than when he's out fishing for a walleye or fishing for a salmon. He likes to fight for his clients to make sure that he is an independent insurance agent for a reason, and he wants to make sure that you get the best bang for your buck, whether it was with your auto, your home, your boat, your business, whatever it may be. So to learn more, go to insurancebyburns.com.
All right, so let's get to these keys to the game. Again, I think you've touched on a number of them, but for the Gophers, I think, you know, this is the last tune-up before we get into Big Ten play. This isn't a gimme. Right. But there's a lot of areas that this team can improve. So I'm curious to hear what your keys to the game are, Ryan.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a few things that we have to touch on. But my biggest key, or my first key, I will say, is that Joe Rossi has to stop the option again. Now, the nice thing for the defensive coordinator for Minnesota is he just went. And I say just went as in if it was yesterday. Well, it was 10 months ago. Option offense in the final game of the 2018 season. And you'll remember that Joe Rossi had quite a bit of success in stopping Georgia Tech's style of option. Now, both teams in that bowl game decided to establish the run, with the Gophers running it 43 times and Georgia Tech 44. But Minnesota's offense was much more efficient than what the Yellow Jackets were. Now, Minnesota's offense on that day, if you'll remember, Luke never punted, while Georgia Tech was 4 of 14 on third down that day.
Yes.
Now, this isn't the exact same option offense. I mentioned that. Here's what PJ Fleck had to say about it. He said, and I quote, "It's option, but it's not exactly the same as the veer option of Georgia Tech, but it's similar. Option football is option football, but there are some things that might make it a little bit different. It's more of a zone option for Georgia Southern than the veer option of Georgia Tech." And he goes on to say, it's, he's not going to get into all the specifics of it, but there's a lot of little differences that make a culmination of, you know, big moves in terms of how much different this is. Now, the other big factor here is Rossi's going to be going against a quarterback who is their most dangerous guy, isn't going to be there. Shea Wirtz, as I talked about, was a large part of their 10-win success last fall, but he's been banged up with a shoulder strain. Now, the Georgia Southern head coach said on Monday that they are, quote, "moving forward under the assumption that Justin Tomlin is the starter," end quote. So Tomlin is a good athlete, but he's not kind of the decision maker and the athlete that Wirtz is. Now, Minnesota has struggled to stop the run in portions of their first two games. Well, they're going to see a very, very steady dose of it on Saturday. So all three levels of the Gopher defense have to do their job.
The one thing that we should, I was going to say, one thing that we should note, too, is they had a month to prepare for Georgia Tech, whereas they only have 1 week to prepare here for Georgia Southern. Not saying that they can't be prepared and that they shouldn't be prepared, but there is a noticeable difference in time and preparation.
And there certainly is, and that's where maybe you look back to the South Dakota State game where they had South Dakota State that being had the entire offseason to game plan and how to screw Minnesota up. Well, Georgia Southern doesn't have that. They had their big game against LSU where they got drummed by 50 points. Then they had to get ready for a Maine team at home that was a very good FCS team last year. Now they only have the same amount of time that Minnesota has to prepare for this. So you mentioned Minnesota had a lot more time last year, but they also have a large part of those guys back, mainly Kamal Martin, Thomas Barber, Keandre Thomas, Coney Durr. All these guys saw a variation of option recently, again, recently as in 3 games ago, which is 10 months ago in real time, but an option offense is just trying to grind you down in 2-yard gain, 3-yard gain, 4-yard gain, 34. And to prevent that big play from happening, you have to do your job. So consistency is key for Rossi's defense. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, and I already mentioned the second key a little bit earlier here, that offensive efficiency is going to play a huge part in how Minnesota dictates how and if they win this game. Because I fully expect this to be a very low possession game, and as does Vegas. Because just in the last 2 days, the over-under has dropped 5 points. That means a ton of sharp money, and by sharp money, big money is coming in on the under. And it makes sense, because that's how Minnesota played against an option team just a year ago. I mentioned it. Georgia Tech ran it 44. Minnesota ran it 43. And in Minnesota's first 2 games so far, they've been a grinding, slower-paced offense that they're just inside zone and then 35 seconds of play clock inside zone. And put that together with Georgia Southern, who wants to grind clock with their option offense, you can see why I want Minnesota to be efficient when they do have the ball. Because if the strategy remains consistent as it's been throughout the first few games, you're going to see it. And you're going to have Georgia Southern force themselves off the run first and foremost. I don't see Minnesota coming out in this game and going pass happy. I know you'd be shocked to hear that. But the Eagles' front seven isn't what Fresno State's was. And it's certainly not what South Dakota State's was. And so Minnesota's offensive line got better last week. Now they have to, in the words of PJ Fleck, change their best once again and establish themselves early in this game. Because the other thing we need to discuss that we mentioned earlier is Georgia Southern's defense is a 3-4. First time Minnesota has faced that this season. First time they've faced it since Wisconsin. So it's a different look for a young offensive line, a.k.a. the Minnesota Moving Company, trademark Paul Allen. And you're hoping that those young guys up front get a strong look from the scout team this week, so there's not really a whole lot that Georgia Southern can do to screw them up. Because efficiency is this type of game for Minnesota. Shiraka's offense has to be able to put themselves into third down and manageable, because the worst thing you can do as an offense going against a triple option offense is 3 and outs. Because if your defense goes 10 play drive, 3 points, then 8 play drive punt, and you have 2 consecutive 3 and outs in between there, well, they're going to be gassed going out there the third time, and that's where the option hurts you. So Minnesota's can't have tired legs for the Minnesota's got to be efficient when they do have the ball. And Morgan has to be efficient with his throwing opportunities. The moving company has to get a good and consistent push all day, because getting points on each drive is important when it's going to be a low possession game. Because if you can get up, like I said, 14-3, 21-10 at halftime, if Georgia Southern goes down two scores, their style of play isn't conducive to coming from behind very often. And then finally, Luke, you'd be shocked to hear this, but I want Minnesota to stop the self-inflicted wounds. Because in all reality, we spent many, many time, or a lot of time at least, on the breakdown pod talking about this, that Minnesota should have won that game last week by double digits. But the turnovers and the third down penalties killed them. You can't turn the ball over twice within your opponent's 40-yard line and expect to win the game. You can't commit three penalties on third downs and give your opponent fresh downs, especially if they're a good football team. If Fresno State is a very good football team, I still think that they have a very good chance to win 9 of their next 10 games, and that is a very good Mountain West conference. And now every time you gave Fresno State fresh downs, whether it was the Devers personal foul, the Jordan Howden hooking, Oliver Hands to the face, Demetrius Douglas gets hit by his own guy, the Bulldogs went from punting or kicking a field goal to scoring more points. And you can't commit these just stupid penalties and unforced errors. And then Tanner Morgan also has to be better at taking care of the ball, because the ball is the program. He can't stare down receivers with a defensive back watching his eyes. I think Tyler and Rashad each played defense on one of Tanner's throws to prevent that from being a pick six. And he can't put the ball on the ground, whether it's drop snaps or whether that's when you're rushing the ball, you can't fumble it. So he's got to clean that up much better than he did in California last week. And Minnesota can just clean up their unforced errors, Luke. I think this, in theory, should be a much more comfortable game for the Gopher football team and for all of you either watching at home or at TCF Bank Stadium.
All right, so we'll get to predictions. I guess I can go first. If Georgia Tech was any indication that Joe Rossi can prepare for an option heavy team, this should be a sizable win, just based on precedent alone. I don't know that I see it as a super sizable win. I need to see some consistency from the Gophers, both offensively and defensively. We really haven't seen that yet. I still have some concerns about the offensive line, whether it's been, whether it's been pass coverage from the offensive line, you know, making calls, what have you, in just consistency in the run game. I still haven't seen that. I'd love to see them get on track in this game and build some confidence. I will take a victory for the Gophers. I'll go 34-20. I'll call it.
So you're taking the over. Interesting.
I'll take the over. I know it's going to be. I'm pretty close to the over, but not terribly. I'll take the over. Yeah,
you're about a touchdown over, but
yeah.
You know, early in this game, you're going to know which way it's going to go. You know if it's going to be like the first two, where Minnesota kind of struggles to open up a big lead by halftime, or the Gophers going to play their first complete game of 2019.
I mean, we could argue too that you got to wait till like the second or third drive for the Gophers, because this so far this year on the scripted first drive they've been super good, and then the wheels kind of fall off.
I mean, I even want to go as far as let's wait to see what the third quarter looks like.
That's a good point.
Because even if Minnesota's up double digits at halftime, the third quarter needs to be significantly better. Through two games, Minnesota has been outscored 25-7 in the third quarter, and they've been outgained by 200 yards. Now, those lone 7 points, you'll remember, were a pick six from Chris Williamson. So the offense has yet to score a point in the third quarter, while the defense is giving up nearly 2 touchdowns per third quarter. So both sides of the ball have been slow to start the second half, and that needs to change this week. So I personally believe this is going to be the game where you see Rodney Smith of old come back. He's going to break one or two runs that remind you of the special player that he's been at Minnesota for many years now, why he's going to finish in the top 5 in many rushing categories. And I think he and Ibrahim rush for a combined 240 yards on this day. And Minnesota goes undefeated into their bye week. Minnesota 31, Georgia Southern 14. I guess in this instance, I would be picking Minnesota 15.5, but I would be going on the under. I just don't think that there's going to be enough possessions in this game. And both, I don't have enough belief that both offenses can be efficient with the drives that they're going to have. because you're not going to see a minute, minute and a half drives. You're going to see 6 minute drives minimum potentially. And you're hoping that Minnesota can get Georgia Southern off the field sooner than later. But I just don't think there's going to be enough possessions in this game to sustain a ton of scoring. And in this point, and in this instance, over 47 points. So Minnesota 31, Georgia Southern 14.
All right, we want to thank everybody for listening once again to the preview episode for Georgia Southern. You know, if you enjoy the podcast, do rate and review. As we're coming up, we will have a breakdown for Georgia Southern. And then during the bye week, we will have a special episode. We're still working out a few details there, but it should be a fun conversation. It will be Gopher football and probably the athletic department in general. So looking forward to that. Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.